This is CICK News. On Tuesday night's council meeting, a bylaw discussion was raised about bylaw 2004, the user fees subsidies. Bylaw number 2004 creates and defines a user fee subsidy for certain residents of the town of Smithers. Its purpose is to reduce the financial burden of water and sewer utility fees for seniors who are considered to be in special circumstances due to age and income. The key change introduced or reaffirmed by this bylaw is a 50% waiver of minimum water and sewer user fees, as set out under the town's fees and charges bylaw number 2003, a change from the 100% fee waived years prior for low-income, home-owning seniors. Eligible seniors must be 65 years or older, with income limits of $30,206 for a single person or $41,472 or less for a household. If met, the resident can receive half off their minimum water and sewer fees for that year. Any change to this bylaw, such as adjusting income thresholds, the percentage waived, or eligibility rules, would immediately affect affordability for seniors and could spark broader conversations about equity, cost of living pressures, and who municipal fees disproportionately impact. So I asked the town's finance director to speak to me. Though Mr. Welsh was unavailable, the town's communications officer was able to find time to talk to me today.
My name is Samantha LeBlanc. I'm the Engagement and Communications Officer with the Town of Smithers.
Okay. I wanted to just start off with asking you how the income thresholds are reviewed to reflect local cost of living conditions rather than just federal benefit benchmarks.
Sure. So one of the reasons this was introduced is actually because it was relying on self-reporting in the town of Smithers for this discount. What is being proposed is that we're moving to using the Canada Revenue Agency Guaranteed Income Supplement income thresholds, which is generally across Canada as the kind of the base of what would be considered low income. So that is what we are basing our decisions off of with this discount program.
Okay. And do you feel that generally local cost of living and the federal rates are pretty closely matched?
We don't really have that information as it pertains to our water and sewer discounts. We'd have to look into that a little bit further with the cost of living in Smithers.
Has the town analyzed how many seniors are excluded from the subsidy due to the home ownership requirement?
We have not. We don't have those exact numbers, but that is part of the reason that this program, the changes are being introduced. So it is applied more fairly across our community.
Could you maybe talk about what the changes are?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we are proposing is that this system is, instead of being a self-reporting, we are going to be requiring proof of income, and that is going to be verified as low income using the Canada Revenue Agency Guaranteed Income Supplement threshold. We are also proposing a change from 100% exemption from water and sewer discounts to a 50% discount on the utility fees.
Okay. And this, but people are still self-reporting, because I believe it was Mr. Welsh in the council meeting when there was discussion around this topic, was that about 73 people in town used the, or took advantage of this subsidy. So do you think that this will be like, will there be an increase, do you think, or how is that kind of determined?
We aren't sure if there'll be an increase or a decrease in this. We will be requiring the income verification with the application for the discount. So the assumption is that everyone who is getting the discount now will also be getting the discount this year, but it will be at a lower rate.
Did council or town staff consider a graduated or tiered model instead of a flat 50% waiver?
We haven't at this time, just because of the administration of the program is quite time consuming, and we are looking to have a more fair, transparent process across the board for anyone who is under that income threshold.
What steps does the town take to ensure that eligible seniors are aware of the subsidy and how they're able to apply, and especially those that would have maybe limited digital access or mobility challenges?
So typically we do in our property taxes, we send out a nice little letter that's usually addressed from the mayor, and there is information on there about claiming the utility reduction, as well as we put out advertisements in the newspaper. It is on our website and we will put it on our digital platforms as well.
Okay. And is the town tracking uptake rates or demographic data to assess whether it's reaching the residents who are most in need? And if so, would those findings be made public?
those exact findings might not be made public just because of the sensitive information that it includes, but we are tracking the number of seniors year after year who are claiming the discount.
Okay. And so I've read the bylaw, Sam, and if you wouldn't mind just giving our listeners just a brief overview of exactly what the bylaw is in kind of a general way, and then how it affects sewer and utility taxes.
Yeah, so overall, it is a bylaw number 2004 is a user fee subsidies. Under this new bylaw, the existing exemption program would be replaced with a 50% discount on utility fees for seniors with low incomes. The eligibility is verified using the CRA guaranteed income supplement threshold, and this creates a system that is more transparent, consistent, and defensible. It is based on age rather than financial needs across all residents, and it is also coming at a time where the town is looking to save for major water infrastructure projects, such as the future water treatment plant. So a lot of the reasons for this bylaw is to create a more fair tax structure and utility charges across all residents.
Okay. And just when do people need to apply by?
They need to apply before the property tax deadline and the utility deadline, which I believe this year is, it's usually in July. So I'd have to double check when the exact date is, but it's in July, typically when your property taxes also come due.
If you have a comment about this bylaw change for low-income seniors' utility subsidy, you still have time to have your voice heard.
This is going to council again on January 27th. So if anyone does have comments or would like to participate in the meeting, I encourage them to do so, or they can watch online on our Facebook page.
Thank you to Samantha LeBlanc for taking the time to speak with me today about Bylaw 2004 and the effect on the town of Smithers seniors' utilities fee subsidy. Next on CICK News, I connected with Kitwanga's Tea Creek Farm co-owner Jessica Ouellette about the farm's food rescue service. If you're unfamiliar with it, Tea Creek Farm is an Indigenous-led teaching farm near Kitwanga that focuses on food sovereignty, seed saving, and land-based education. Listen to my conversation with Jessica Ouellette about Tea Creek's food sovereignty and educational programs.
My name is Jessica Ouellette, and I'm one of the co-owners of Tea Creek Farm in Kitwanga, and we also have a nonprofit, a charitable entity called the Indigenous Food Sovereignty Association, and I volunteer my time with that organization.
Can you actually tell me what that means to rescue food and what that process looks like?
Yeah, sure. The process of food rescuing, I am not an expert in that at all. We're not the food rescuers, but we work with another charity that's their purpose, is to rescue food, and we redistribute it. So the idea behind food rescue is that almost 50% of the food in Canada gets wasted. We need to start solving this problem where food is very expensive, people are going hungry, and food is going to waste. So there are a number of organizations across Canada and beyond that work to gather food, mostly large like corporate donations, and redistribute that food to organizations such as the Indigenous Food Sovereignty Association, which is our charitable organization, that can then distribute the food to individuals or communities or organizations locally, and it can get into people's kitchens and get eaten. A lot of the food that is being rescued is perfectly fine. So it's only about 5% of the food in Canada that's thrown away that actually needs to be thrown away.
In late December, Tea Creek Farm posted a photo with a call to action to their community to help distribute a truckload of apple boxes.
Yeah, we did a huge apple rescue. Those apples came from Kelowna, and I don't have the full story. So what happens for us on our end is we get a call from a charity called Second Harvest, a wonderful charity. And they say, do you want this amount of food? And they send us an email with a description of how much food they're offering and what type it is. And then we determine whether we can take that food. And so it looked to me like it was some of the apples were slightly damaged or had some bruising on them. And it was probably a distributor because maybe one or two, an average of one or two apples per bag had gone bad. But the wonderful thing about apples is they have this skin on them that protects them. So you can have a rotten apple beside another apple for even a couple of months in a bag, and the other apple is fine. We wash the apples up and they're fine. So just compost the other ones and we're good to go.
One of the projects that I saw that has been gaining some traction and that you're fundraising for is to build a longhouse. Can you describe that project a little bit for me?
Absolutely. Yeah. Our Longhouse Food Hub project, and let me be clear, this is a food hub. We already are a food hub, and we need an interior building to provide a space to shelter, to do our activities. So it's in the architectural style of a West Coast longhouse. So we call it the longhouse, but it's not a traditional longhouse. It's in the architectural style of a longhouse. So it's our food hub, and it's for exactly this purpose, where we are going to rescue large amounts of food and redistribute, and we can, just do all the activities that we're doing already. I'm not involved on the ground. I'm not building it physically. We have a team of professionals doing that. Along with my husband, Jacob Beaton, we planned the food hub and he raised the money for it. And it is through the Indigenous Food Sovereignty Association. It's through our charitable nonprofit. And it's been part of the plan for many years here. And it's finally coming to fruition.
I really appreciate you making the time to speak with me today.
Oh, absolutely. I'm really appreciative that you took an interest and saw the post about the apple rescue. That was so heartening. Perfect timing before the Christmas break. It was our last hurrah. Everybody left work before our break with huge smiles on their faces, full heart. So we're just really grateful for all the community that came out and helped us distribute the food.
Before we finished our conversation, Jessica had one final recommendation. She's encouraging people to watch the CBC documentary Tea Creek, a beautiful and award-winning film that offers an intimate look at life on the farm. The film was shot in 2023, released in 2024, and is free to stream on CBC Gem. While it wasn't made by the Tea Creek team, Jessica says it really captures the heart of the work. She also highlighted another documentary by filmmaker Ben Cox called The Interceptors, which explores food rescue in Vancouver and the connections between volunteers, Vancouver food runners, and community-led cooking initiatives in the downtown East Side. Thank you very much to Jessica Ouellette for taking the time to speak with me today. CSK News is funded by the Government of Canada, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and is a participating station in the Local Journalism Initiative. On behalf of my colleague Dan Messick and myself, Pam Hassan, thanks for listening.